Okay, we're going to talk about joint venturing. Now, if you know what to say and do, you can get other people to promote you in a big way. Now, unless you're a supermodel, that's male or female, you can't just walk up to powerful promoters and joint venture partners and say, hey, promote my product. See, there are rules to the game, and not knowing them can get you disqualified in a hurry. Well, hello, everybody. I'm Tom Antion here, and I've been selling on the commercial internet since there was a commercial internet, starting in 1994. I hit multimillionaire status over 20 years ago, and in all those years, I've had literally thousands of people approach me to promote their products and services to my email list of over 90,000 people. Sadly, most of those marketers that wanted me to help them failed miserably in approaching me properly, and we didn't make a deal. This recording is to help you get in that tiny fraction of business people who make successful joint venture deals and have people like me thrilled to talk to you because you did your homework. First, I want to tell you a little about why joint venturing can be so lucrative for you. It's a perfect promotional vehicle if you're just starting out and you don't have a big mailing list. See, when you're on all these internet forums and when you're trying to get into internet marketing, you always hear about the value of the list, the value of the list. Well, when you're first starting out, you don't have a list. Now, I'm going to give you the method of approaching joint venture partners so you can overcome this problem. I mean, these are people that have already blazed the trail before you, and some have really big lists and some have smaller lists, but at any rate, they're further ahead than you are. Now, the first thing I want to talk to you about is how valuable this can be to you if you make this a priority in your business. I'd say in the next 90 days, you could probably be in front of 1 million people that never heard of you before through your joint venture partners. And that all depends, though, if you did everything that I teach here in this recording and you did it correctly. Now, these aren't 1 million people like, you know, Facebook people that never really heard of you. And it's not just people that have fleetingly heard about you. These are people that hear about you with a warm introduction from a list owner, an email list owner, that they already trust. Now, doing this can really jumpstart your entire online or offline business. That's the value of taking the time to implement what you learn here. It can take you from zero to doing 100 miles an hour in a very short period of time. So that's why you really have to do this correctly. Now, let me tell you about a well-known internet marketer, Daniel Hall. I heard him on tape crediting me for putting him, what we call, on the map. See, years ago, he had written a wonderful ebook about speaking on cruise ships. And I pretty much made my first fortune online with public speaking related material. So Daniel came to me with his book. It was related to public speaking, and it was a topic I never planned on covering myself. Now, even though the money wasn't enormous, I promoted the book for him, and in his words, Tom put me on the map. So, if you want to get on the map or make the map bigger, dig in and pursue those joint ventures. Now, I'm going to be using terms like super affiliate and joint venture partner and big list owner all interchangeably. They're all the same thing. They're people that can help make you rich. All right, so how do you find these people? Well, the first thing, you got to find them, right? In other words, how do you find where they are? And a little later, we'll talk about how to reach them. So if these people have a big mailing list, you can be darn sure that there's plenty of places online to sign up for their list. The first thing you should do is get yourself a throwaway email address. You'll be using this address to sign up for various lists, and I can tell you, all the people you might want to deal with, they're just not going to work out for you. And with many of them, once you get to know what they're about, you may not want to work with them. So using this throwaway address, email address, will insulate your main inbox from getting spammed to death by some of these marketers. All right, so now you got your Gmail or AOL or Yahoo or something like that email address. You sign up for marketing publications so you can get to know what they're about. Now, if you just try to blast a broadcast email out to a bunch of list owners, it's going to get deleted so fast your head will spin. It won't mean anything. You really have to play the game and approach these people on an individual basis and very carefully, as I'm going to outline here for you. So get yourself on their list and start your research. Find out what they talk about and what issues they bring up and what kind of attitude they have about things. And all you have to do is type into Google email marketing or online marketing or work from home, and you'll start seeing these people and you get on their list. But anyway, you got to get to know them. I mean, I'm kind of in your face and brash, but not to the point where it's obnoxious. There's some people out there that make it a point of being obnoxious, all right? That's part of their shtick. Other people are very low key. You need to know what their nature is, and you can learn that just by reading their publications and reading their blogs and reading their email newsletters and watching their videos and all that stuff. Now, if you're totally starting from zero and don't know any of the players in the field, like I said, you're going to find them by Googling your topic area plus the term email magazine or blog or discussion forum. And you'll immediately bring up people in your topic. You can pretty much guarantee the people that come up towards the top have lists. So you got to start signing up for their list and really learning about them. Another way to find joint venture partners is to visit clickbank.com and jvzoo.com. These sites are well established and packed full of marketers and product creators who are also marketers. Start picking out any names of people selling products. Look them up online and then just start opting in with your throwaway email address to whatever freebies they have to offer. And soon, you'll be on tons of lists of people who are actively marketing online. Now, one of the overriding principles here is you must be patient because the people that have blazed the trail before you have had people chasing them around day and night, all right? I mean, at any one time, I have at least 19 or 20 people trying to make deals with me to promote their stuff. And I couldn't possibly do all of it. So you must do the things that put yourself at the top of the heap. When someone like me is ready to promote somebody else, you need to be standing there waiting while telling me the right things about your project. But you must be patient. You got to do your homework. If you try to skip this step, the chances of success are very slim. And the exception to this is if you're really hot babe. I mean, I've seen several of them that have virtually nothing important to say, but they just make it on their looks. And that's great. All right. That's not going to happen for me. I mean, they get extra breaks because most of the people in the internet marketing field are guys. Now, it's, you know, not totally true anymore. There's lots and lots of females doing great things here. But the exception is if you're a really hot babe, you can do other things. If you're model material and willing to show your stuff, and I'm not trying to be sexist here, it's just the truth. You've got people with millions and millions and millions of views on Instagram and stuff that don't teach you anything. They're just very pretty people, you know. So, and men too. There's plenty of male models doing this stuff. But for most of us, okay, we have to do it correctly. So to find joint venture partners, start looking for their publications or emails or magazines or blogs and get to know them first. That's the absolute main thing. And another thing that will happen is that once you get on some of the lists and start reading them, they will invariably mention other people that they respect or do joint ventures with. So you take those names and Google them and join their list. Pretty soon you'll be getting all kinds of emails that are right on target for what you do. All right, now how do you reach out to these people? Well, when you identify some people you think would be a good target, then how do you get a hold of them? Well, I'm one of the few that you can actually even get halfway close to, all right? Even my folks at my phone number screen my calls very heavily. And I even have a phone number, right? Many of the people you may want to deal with, there's no way on earth you can call them. They hide from you. They don't want to hear from you. They don't want anybody to call them. See, I have a real business and we answer the phones. I mean, not counting the fact that, you know, I backed off quite a bit because we get so darn many robocalls, right? But anyway, my people still screen very heavily because I get chased around all the time. Now, most of the people trying to get hold of me, they really don't know how to play the game, or I would be taking the calls. They don't have a good offer. They haven't listened to something like this and learned how to approach a joint venture partner. Now, I'm not trying to be mean, but they really are a total waste of time. It's better that they get screened rather than me taking time away from my business and the good partners that I am dealing with. It's just not worth it to waste the time on people that didn't do their homework, which that's what you're doing right now. Now, the same thing's going to happen to you if you try to contact me or anybody else. If you don't play the game right, or if you act like you're a novice and you don't know what you're doing, nobody's going to deal with you. By approaching people before you know what you're doing, you're not only wasting your time, you're hurting your chances in the future to make deals. See, you know the old saying about making a first impression, right? All right. Well, when you do finally find some partners that make sense, you won't know what makes sense until you listen to the rest of this audio. And I highly suggest you go back and take notes on it. I do need to tell you, though, that you need to use multiple ways to try to reach these people, not just email. And probably phone is not going to work because they hide. And not many people have fax. Nobody, I mean, even if they do have fax, it comes through email like mine does. And in case we need to, somebody needs to fax us, it comes to me through email. Actually, even snail mail is a legitimate way to reach people. Many people aren't used to seeing anything but junk mail, so this can be a good way to reach people if you can find a good address and make it a personally signed, handwritten thing. That'll get through more than something that looks like it's just junk mail. Hey, if possible, I might even FedEx somebody if I had their physical address. FedEx packages usually get opened, and they don't look like junk mail at all. I'll tell you one of the best methods to meet someone that's in person. Now, I know that this is being recorded during the year of a major pandemic, and live meetings are not happening as much right now. However, that's not going to be forever. Any chance you get to meet someone in person, take it. Now, to use this method, you do, again, have to be patient and invest in yourself. Now, what I'm suggesting is that you go to one of their live events when they start happening. Now, many of the people you want to target do have live events, and meeting them in person will go much further than trying to get emails through that they don't even see. They probably get filtered or maybe have somebody else reading them. But going to a live event and meeting potential partners in person really can be great. However, again, you got to be patient. See, the fact I tell you to go to a live event doesn't mean they're going to have time for you. If they're running a live event, it's busy, busy, busy. Now, you can't be obnoxious about it and force your way to talk to them. You'll shoot yourself in the foot by not recognizing how busy they are. But attending a live event and being there when you get your chance puts you way ahead of the pack. And I just got to warn you, though, you may not get your chance at the live event. So please don't complain to me if you spent $1,000 for hotel and airfare and then went to an event and didn't get to talk to the person. But I hope you got something out of the event anyway. But it's still going to put you further ahead. See, I can't tell you the number of deals that I made and that the people I know have made because they saw somebody in person. And you know what? People that go to these events, I've made joint venture deals with before. And anyway, the leader of the event, even if you don't get to speak to them or just say hello or shake hands, when you follow up with them, they appreciate the fact that you went to their live event. So it moves you up the ladder a little bit. It's kind of like the law of reciprocity. It's the fact that they now have met you and you committed to their event. I mean, like I said, it means a lot to them. So doing this will get you a little bit further ahead of the pack. Now, it still doesn't mean they're going to promote your product yet, because there's a lot more I got to tell you about. Next thing is product samples. You have to give this person that you want to promote your product. Do not, under any circumstances, expect a super affiliate to buy your product. This is just ludicrous. If you really knew what was going on, you would never in a million years suggest that they buy your product. I don't care how expensive your product is. Don't do it. See, here's what you need to know. I have a stack of stuff in here, plus a bunch of digital products and courses that people give me, just begging me just to look at them. It's the same for all other joint venture partners that are worth joint venturing with. We all have enormous number of people to pick from on who to promote. If you expect us to buy your product just to help you promote it, you're crazy. You'll get kicked out of the running so fast your head will spin again. So give the product to the potential joint venture partner. If it's a physical product, have it mailed as if it was going to a customer. This way the joint venture partner can see what they're promoting. Remember, this joint venture partner has a reputation to uphold. See, you might be brand new and you can screw up and nobody's ever heard of you, so it doesn't make any difference. It does make a darn big difference to me, who sweated blood for 26 years creating a reputation. You can't expect me or any other reputable people that you'd want to promote your stuff to promote something they don't even know if it's any good. It would kill their reputation. See, I want to see the product the same way it's going to be seen by a real customer. I want to see it from the same shipping or fulfillment company. I want to see the packaging and all the stuff so that I can know what I'm going to be promoting to my list. If it's garbage and I promote it, then nobody's ever going to trust me again. And I'll tell you what, your deal is not worth it if it's going to kill all the rest of my deals for years. Okay, so your product better be good, but don't expect me to buy it. And remember, I can just say heck with you because I have 20 other people begging me to promote them. So give them your product. And none of this is out of arrogance. This is just the reality so that you know when you're approaching somebody what they're facing. All right, that's the critical thing. What they are facing, not what you're facing. All right, super affiliates. That's a person that has the ability to sell enormous amounts of stuff for you. Now, they can be a super affiliate in one field and not in another field. For instance, I would never be a super affiliate for parenting type products. I'm going to be using this example for you a couple times. Because even though people on my list are parents, many of them, they're not on my list because of that. They're on it because of public and professional speaking, internet marketing for small business, and entrepreneurship. So I wouldn't be a super affiliate for parenting products. Now, if you had parenting products, you'd want to go to a super affiliate that had a parenting list. You want them to have a big list of people who are on the list because they want to be better parents. That list owner would be a super affiliate for parenting, but they wouldn't be a super affiliate for public speaking, internet marketing, and entrepreneur stuff like I am. So you got to make sure that your stuff is appropriate for the list owner that you're approaching. I mean, this is a really big thing, and I'm going to get into that a little later, but what I want you to know is that if a person is a super affiliate and has a big list of people that buy lots of stuff, you may want to offer that person an extra commission. This is very common. I'm just not doing it for you to offer me bigger commission, all right? In some cases, you might offer up to 75% commission. There are even cases where you give the person 100% commission. This might be for a limited period of time to get them to move faster, or maybe just something like that to really set yourself apart from the pack. Now, I know 100% commission may sound ridiculous to you. Why would you give all the profit away? Well, the reason is they sent you a customer who might buy hundreds or thousands of dollars of products over time. You basically paid the super affiliate to buy you a customer. Now, sometimes you just give them a permanent higher commission. A good example of this is ClickBank.com. I mentioned that earlier along with JVZoo. See, they're well-known affiliate management companies that between both of them have over 100,000 affiliate marketers, probably more by the time you read this or hear this. Now, I read that people that make the most money on ClickBank give an average commission of 65% to the people selling, you know, they're joint venturing with. I think the maximum commission allowed on ClickBank is 75%. Now, the people that offer these higher commissions know there's a lot of competition to find good affiliate and joint venture partners. And if they only offer 50, 40, or 30%, the affiliates don't want to bother with them. Why should they when some other product is paying 65 or 75%? Now, I'm not saying that you have to do this, but I'm saying that you should be prepared to offer an extra commission to attract the best joint venture partners or super affiliates. Now, I mentioned earlier you got to have patience, right? Because a lot of times a joint venture partner will have things scheduled 3 or 4 months in advance. See, I'm trying to really get you into the head and the life of somebody that could put you on the map. They might have product launches in the mix that are taking up all of their available mailings. And most people can't mail every day or they would burn out their list. So you can't just decide you want to approach a super affiliate and think they're going to immediately sell your stuff. You got to be patient. And you got to be easy to work with. Again, you always have to keep in mind you're one of 20 or 30 people that's chasing them at any one time. You're in competition with others that want help selling their stuff as much as you do. So not only does your deal have to be good, but you better be knowledgeable, competent, and pleasant. Why should they pick you if you're a jerk and pushy and obnoxious, all right? They can easily pick somebody else that's waiting to jump in front of the line in front of you. Let's understand their life even a little bit more. Maybe newbies don't have a clue of the life joint venture partner. Well, I mean, I don't want to be mean about this, but they're kind of like little babies or dogs, okay, that they only think about themselves. They think, oh, I got a great product and you should promote it because the world needs it. Well, us joint venture partners and super affiliates have heard that thousands of times, and it's a big joke to us. So if you come with that attitude, we're going to tell you to take a hike. I mean, we're going to ignore you and not take your calls or, you know, respond to you at all. See, you're showing us that you don't know how to play the game. You don't understand our world. If you don't like our attitude, well, don't go after big joint venture partners. That's okay. I mean, in many cases, you're going to need to start smaller anyway. Instead of going for somebody with a list of 50,000, go for somebody with a list of 3,000. See, the smaller list owners haven't paid their full dues yet, and they're probably hungrier than a person with a 50,000 email list. So you can make more mistakes and maybe still get a deal going with smaller list owners. Just don't shoot for the big list owners inappropriately and blow your chances. you can be sure that a big list owner knows a bunch of other big list owners in that field. If you make a jerk of yourself, he or she's going to tell all the other list owners, and then boom, you're done. You might as well just quit, because you're never going to get any of them to go with your deal if you act like a jerk. So please, please, please be patient and easy to work with. All right. I got to pound this back into your head, this appropriate product. When you finally get your chance and a super affiliate is willing to hear you out on your deal, don't blow it at this point. Let's say you located a person that's perfect for you. If you made it all the way that far, I'm going to give you some things that you must be ready for so you don't blow your chance when you get it. The first thing is, the product must be appropriate for their list. I used an example a little earlier about parenting. The reason that came to mind is because there have been several people over the years come to me and try to make this pitch. Here it is. Tom, you got this big list of 100,000 people, and a lot of them are parents. You should promote our parenting product to your list. And I'm sitting there thinking, you don't know how to play the game. You don't understand that if I would promote that parenting product to my list of people, it would be a disaster. The people on my list are on the list for public and professional speaking, internet marketing, and entrepreneurship. You don't understand, because you never sat here and have gotten cussed out in 18 languages, okay? And you haven't seen 5,000 people unsubscribe in less than 6 hours, okay? So why did I get cussed out and lose 5,000 subscribers? Because I sent out something that wasn't appropriate for why the people were on the list. Yeah, they might be parents, but they're not on my list because they're parents. You gotta understand that to you, it was just a failed promotion that cost you nothing. To me, it was a major loss. You can't expect success if you present someone with a product inappropriate for their list. For me, no matter how good the product is or how much money you offer me, and no matter how sweet the deal is, I'm just going to tell you to take a hike if you present a product that doesn't make sense for my list. Now, if you're being nice and you just don't know any better, I might not tell you to take a hike, all right? But I'm going to get rid of you somehow, because you're wasting my time. You obviously don't know how to play the game. You got no chance on earth of succeeding with trying to promote a product to the wrong list. So you're wasting everybody's time and effort. So here I go again. The product better be darn appropriate. So how do you know if a product is appropriate? Well, you go back and you sign up for the person's list and you see what they have been promoting. You look at back issues of their newsletter. You read their blog back for a couple months or more, and you see the kinds of things that they're into and what that list owner's people want. If your product doesn't fit, it's just too bad. You just go find the next list owner. Now, all of us big list owners have heard people try to make a stretch of why their product is perfect for our list. Right? Well, we've been working our list for years, and we know that you're crazy and you don't know you're crazy. Okay. So don't make a fool of yourself and ruin your chances by approaching the wrong person with the wrong product. All right. Now, another critical aspect of getting joint venture partners is there must be enough money in the deal. In other words, your product must make them enough money to make it worthwhile to promote. And here's another thing you might not understand. On some of the things I promote to my list, I get a $2,000 commission. So if you come to me and say, hey, Tom, I got this $9.95 ebook and I'll give you 50% of it. I'm thinking, you don't know how to play the game. Take a hike. All right. Now, I don't want to burn one of my mailings and make a piddly little amount of money. I'd have to sell 400 of your piddly books to equal one of the other things that I get a $2,000 commission for. So don't approach a big list owner with something that the money just doesn't make sense, even if the product is appropriate. See, if there's not enough money from the commissions, it's not worth mailing because most big list owners have a certain number of people that unsubscribe every time they mail. And that's even if the products are totally appropriate. It's just the nature of big lists. That mailing might just be the email that was the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. I mean, many non-marketing people get really frustrated because they can't handle enormous amounts of spam and other emails that they get, so they just start unsubscribing from everything. And I don't want them to unsubscribe from me just because I'm trying to get a tiny commission off of you, okay? I don't mind somebody leaving if I'm trying to get a $2,000 commission. If I land just a few of those, I'll make a lot of money and it'll be a darn good day. Also, with bigger ticket products, the commissions will be high enough to replace those people who unsubscribe. See, each list has a value to each subscriber. It costs the list owner so much to get each subscriber. Whether they're using search engine optimization or pay-per-click or whatever, it costs them to replace that person. They might have a lot of time, energy, and money getting great search positioning and putting lots of websites up to grab these subscribers. They might even be doing pay-per-click to get subscribers, so there's definitely a cost and a value to each subscriber. Now, if people unsubscribe because I sent them an email that could only make small amounts of money, I'm losing in the long run, and I'm just not going to do it. So don't be discouraged. See, a smaller list owner might do it because they're hungrier. Just don't approach a large list owner with a product that doesn't have enough money to go around. All right, now I came up with this phrase, guinea pigs don't fly, okay? The next concept is really important, just like the other ones. See, not all list owners are going to demand this next thing I talk about, but most big ones that have been around a while will. Let's say there's enough money in the deal. Let's say the product is appropriate, so you pass those first couple tests. You still haven't crossed the goal line and landed a deal. So don't try to make the list owner your guinea pig. That means if you don't have any kind of proven sales on the product, don't go to that list owner and ask them to mail to their people and hope you get some sales. You're asking that list owner who sweated blood and worked day and night for years and built tons of websites and gotten search engine positioning and paid for placements with pay-per-click to be your guinea pig. You're asking them to send a mailing out with no guarantees that any money is going to come back. You're not even giving them any inkling that there could be any money to come back. You haven't proven that your sales letter can get anyone to pull their wallet out of their pocket and give you money. So here's what you may hear from a list owner when you promote your deal to them. Here's what they might say. What's your conversion rate? Now, if you stand there like the old Elmer Fudd cartoon and babble away like, I don't know, guess what the next thing is? Take a hike, all right? It's not worth it to that list owner to be your guinea pig. See, if I send out an email to 100,000 people and get nothing back from you in sales commissions, I may have just lost 5,000 subscribers. I wasted a mailing and got nothing in return. Now I got to spend money to replace those 5,000 people. I might have to spend $1 to $2 a piece, and I didn't get anything for it. Not only did you waste my time, but I lost money because of you. Okay. So after doing that a couple of times in my earlier career, I'm not going to do it anymore, and neither is any other big list owner. So don't go in there without any sales figures. But then, of course, you're going to say, Tom, how can I have sales figures if I don't have a mailing list? That's when you learn how to use pay per click. Google Ads is very difficult to learn, but it certainly will work for you. And the skill to use it is critical for quick testing of sales letters. It's really worth taking some time to learn it. Then you use it to drive some traffic to your sales page. Now, Google Ads aren't the only game in town. You got Facebook, Twitter, and the best bargain I know of for online ads is YouTube in-stream ads. Those are the ones where you can click the skip button. Those are really great bargains. I cover YouTube in-stream ads in episode 175 of Screw the Commute podcast, and I cover online advertising in general in episode 28. So to get them, you go to screwthecommute.com/175 and then screwthecommute.com/28. All right. So you really have to learn how to use different advertising platforms, because if you're doing something stupid, they won't show your ads. I mean, you know, so you got to learn how to use them. So you take some time to learn how to advertise online, and it will accelerate your success in getting joint venture partners. And of course, I'd be happy to train you in my mentor program at greatinternetmarketingtraining.com. But the main thing here is to drive some traffic to your sales letter. Then count how many people visited the sales letter, and then count how many people bought. And when you divide these two figures, you have what is called a conversion rate. So the number of buyers divided by the number of people that saw the sales letter is your conversion rate. Now, even if your number, so just an example, let's say you had 100 people visit the sales letter and two people bought. That would be a 2% conversion rate. But here's the thing. Even if your numbers are small from either a small mailing list or a paid ad, you will impress the heck out of the list owner. Let's say you land a deal and get a small list owner to mail for you. Let's say they have only 500 people and you can sell two or three of your products out of the mailing. With these numbers, at least you're coming to the big list owner with some kinds of figures. Now, here's a scenario of what you would say to me if I ask you, what's your conversion rate? You would say, Tom, I tested the product with a small list of 500 people. I had 150 people click through to check out the sales letter. And out of those 150 people, we sold three of our $497 packages. That was a 2% conversion rate, and the list owner earned $745.50. So three sales divided by 150 people saw the sales letter equals a 2% conversion. Now, if you approach me like that, oh my goodness, I would be thinking, this person knows what they're doing. Even though they're a beginner, they're coming to me properly. They're coming to me with some figures. I'm really impressed. Now, it doesn't mean I'm going to mail for you yet, all right? But you're doing great so far if you come to me like that. Then the pitch would go on. Tom, I tried with the small list and got some modest results. I'm thinking that with your list of more warm customers, we can do even better. See, just the fact you're coming to me talking like that, even if the numbers are small, I'm thinking, wow, what a breath of fresh air. This person did their homework and knows how to play the game. See, you do this and you just pass the next test. It still doesn't mean I'm going to mail for you, but to use another sports analogy, you just rounded third base and you're heading for home plate, okay? Now, at this point, you have my interest and I'm going to look at your sales process. I'm going to look at your sales letter to see if I can help you make it convert better. I'm going to dig in and see the list that you sent to, and I want to see what they're all about and what type of people they were. Then I might say, I think we can do better if you would tweak some things on your sales letter, and I'll send to a small segment of my list to see how it goes. Maybe I'll even suggest possibly we do a teleclass or a webinar or a live streaming event. However, here's the thing. It's hard for me to do a teleclass, webinar, or streaming event with you if I never heard how well you are on live events. I had one lady that was great on what she did as a living, but she totally sucked on a teleclass I hosted with her, and I was so embarrassed. It was like pulling teeth to get her to say what she was supposed to say, and then she'd contradict me, and she just made an ass out of both of us. So it's very unlikely I'll put you on a teleclass or something live, unless, of course, you come to me with a recording of how well you did on another live event. Along with copywriting, which I'll discuss a little later, improving your skills on webinars and live streams and podcasts really up your chances of high sales and getting joint venture partners. You'll impress them. Now, I still might do an email for you if you come to me with an appropriate product and there's enough money and you give me some type of conversion rate figures and you don't ask me to be your guinea pig. If you do all those things I've covered, you will have a massive opportunity to be in front of tens of thousands, if not millions, of warm prospects very soon. But there's one more big item that can kill the entire deal, okay? And I coined this, don't make me work, all right? There is one big mistake that could kill the whole deal that you worked so hard to get. You must not expect the joint venture partner to write up an email and to set everything up and to go and sign up for your affiliate program and do all the work. You should do all of that. You should write sample emails. And in copywriting terms, this is called swipe. You are letting them swipe your advertising copy so they can tweak it for their list. You should write sample questions for them if they're going to have you on a webinar or live stream. You should sign them up for your affiliate program and give them the link. Don't make them work. I've seen deals get all the way to the end and then fail miserably because the product owner wanted the super affiliate to do a bunch of work. And I've been involved in some of those deals. I got all the way to the end. It was a good deal. And then they wanted me to write stuff up and go sign up, and I'm desperately busy from morning till night. The deal fell apart because they didn't make it easy for me to participate. Don't let it fall apart at this point. And I said earlier, the super affiliates aren't doing this out of arrogance. It's just that they have paid their dues, and now it's your turn to do the extra work in exchange for them putting you on the map. If you work hard and build your own list up, you can be a super affiliate one day and have other people catering to you. So if you seriously do all the things I've mentioned here, and I'm going to give you a checklist before we close out, if you do it, you know, like crazy for 90 days, you could be in front of a million warm leads. Hey, what if it was only 500,000? I'll bet you'd still be darn happy, wouldn't you? I don't care if you work morning till night. The end result is worth it. And after 26 years selling online, I still joint venture with others, and it's a significant part of my income. So I hope you see the value of joint venturing. Go out there and do it. I can't wait to see you on the map and all the great promotions you come up with. So I thought I would finish up here with a checklist of things for you to do to give yourself the greatest chance of landing successful joint ventures. Here it is. Get a throwaway email address. Determine your present conversion rate. If you got to use pay-per-click or small lists, whatever it takes. Identify big joint venture partners and super affiliates. Make sure your products are appropriate and expensive enough. Figure out how to contact them. Do it every way you possibly can. See them in person if you can. Be polite and protective of their time. When you get your chance, pitch your product. Offer a sample. Possibly offer higher commissions. Tell them the tests you've done and your conversion rate. Tell them you'll do all the setup work and you'll give them the sample emails. And most of all, be patient. All right, good luck with all your joint ventures. And I can't wait to see you on the map. I'm Tom Antion. You can check out my training at greatinternetmarketingtraining.com.